Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, buddy. And we're also joined by our good buddy John Peters. Pull up your stool.
Good morning. Happy Easter, fellas.
How you doing, guys? You ready to go on an Easter egg hunt?
Absolutely, absolutely. Happy Easter to you, John and Doug.
Happy Easter, guys.
Yes, guys.
It's just nice to be recorded at normal time again.
Yeah, yeah. We've had kind of an erratic recording schedule as of late. So, yeah, it is nice to get back in the groove with our normal recording window, if you will.
Yeah, Sunday morning, we're all going to go, we'll do our nice little show here, and we're all going to get fat on some ham. You guys both have a ham today?
Yeah, we got a ham today and a lamb for tomorrow, so I'm good. So.
Leave the lamb out tomorrow. I'll be eating ham leftovers.
Yeah, yeah, we have one of them spiral hams. I'm looking forward to that later today.
Yeah, that's what we use to get the brown sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. They had a new one out this year we thought about. It was apple cinnamon.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds good, but I don't know. I think I'd stick to what I know.
Yeah, well, that's how you are at Disney World, too.
Yeah, right. Would have thought I would just stay with what I like, right?
Yeah, that kind of sounds better before Thanksgiving or something, though, rather than Easter, you know. But
yeah, the apple cinnamon. Yeah. Yeah, it just intrigued me. It was the first time I ever seen it. Yeah, we were in there shopping around. I actually got the energy up to go out shopping one night. Remember I was telling you guys I miss even doing that?
Right, right.
Yeah, so I got her to go after work one night this week. We did our Easter shopping, and I almost went for the cinnamon, but I ended up with the brown sugar is just too good.
It is.
Yeah, that crusty, you know, when it caramelizes on the outside, there's nothing better than that with a ham. That's awesomeness.
That's it. The show's over. I'm coming to cook ham.
Time to make dinner.
So. Yeah, the wife and my daughter did the annual Easter egg coloring. They boiled up a dozen eggs and colored them and wrote on them and, you know, made them different colors and stuff. So we also had some hard-boiled eggs around Easter eggs, which is always cool.
Yeah, I wish we didn't get to do that this year with my schedule. Like, you know, first day off, I've worked the last 25 of 26 days. So
wow.
I didn't have it in me to do Easter eggs. But we used to do every once in a while, we'd do them, and I'd have to do the Disney. I would try to do the Mickey or just do goofy different things with them. And
right, right.
I enjoyed doing them. I missed doing them this year.
Yeah, yeah, and, I kind of miss reminiscing about Easter. Usually we do a spring trip, and we're down there either over Easter or right before or right after. And I know down in Epcot's World Showcase, they do that Easter egg, the giant Easter egg, about the eggs that are about the size of a soccer ball, and they hide them around the World Showcase, and you have to find them. There's usually a little map that goes with them, and it's kind of cool. It's all of the Disney characters, and you know, you make a little game out of it and locate each one, and I think you get a sticker or something, and then when you're done, they give you a pin or something to commemorate your Easter egg hunt over in World Showcase.
I think they also do one of them over to Grand Floridian too.
Yeah, yeah, they have those designer eggs over there, which are really cool. Those are those custom-made ones that they have in the grand foyer there at the Grand. You're correct.
Absolutely. Me and you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Nah. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm always afraid I'm going to touch one of them and it's going to shatter into a million pieces. So.
That would be my luck. One little, two little, three little idiots we'd be calling. Get out of here, guys.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a few years now, and those are awesome. I mean... usually they'll whatever movie is hot at that time or whatever, they'll have one that's themed to that, and then I think they have some that they do every year that, you know, certain characters and stuff. But yeah, that's always a fun thing to look at if you're there, or even if you're not there, you can look at the pictures online. And yeah, it's kind of just a neat little thing they do that is a little bit different at the during the Easter time of year.
So you guys having anybody over for Easter, or just immediate family?
Me, no, just us, just the family. My daughter and her fiance will be over, and my son is still in New York, so he's not going to be joining us. But yeah, just the immediate family.
No, little chef, did they have Easter dinner there today, or did he get the day off?
I think they are open. I talked to him just a couple of nights ago. I'm pretty sure he said he was working. So yeah, I think they're open.
Well, happy Easter to your whole family and to your son. And yes, we're just having immediate here for the most part. I was too tired to have too many over this year.
Yeah, you don't need to be entertaining, that's for sure.
And what about you, Johnny?
Yeah, it's just my wife and my son here today for the ham and the broccoli casserole and stuff. And, yeah.
So the sad part is you're not going to Disney today, you poor guy.
You know what? I can do without one day. Yeah, it's one of the most packed days in the year, so I can do without it today. So.
Yeah, could you imagine being there today? We did it years and years ago, like right before Easter, and it was too much. I couldn't take it. I really couldn't. I would love to be there. Like, as tired as I am now, I'd still love to be there, but not today, man. I don't play well with those crowds. Unless we went and maybe all of us went and hit it, like went to the boathouse or Morimoto's and just sat there on the water and drank all day. I could deal with that. But I don't think I could deal with the parks today.
Probably you and 100,000 other people have that same plan, go to the boathouse and sit, you know what I mean? And I think even if you weren't in the parks, I think everything is just busy down there, you know, on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, we had a front come across and stall on us anyway, and so yesterday, today, and even tomorrow, it's rainy, cloudy, and we actually had some horrible thunderstorms roll through yesterday, so... Yeah, actually, Osceola County, which is only, I think the section they showed was about 15, 20 miles from Disney, had a picture of his yard, and it was just covered with hail. It looked like snow. So.
Oh, boy.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Man, we had some severe thunderstorms. So.
Yeah, they were saying that. Yeah, I was listening to a Phillies game yesterday at work, and the guys were complaining, boo-hoo, down there in Clearwater. It's 83 degrees, and the humidity is like 100%. I'm sitting here freezing because we got another cold front coming in. It's going down to the 40s again next week. I don't know what you guys are getting, Dan.
Yeah. It is a bit raw up here right now, and you're right. Even though we've commemorated the first day of spring, it's kind of slipped back to more seasonal temperatures, or even a little less than seasonal, and it is a little nippier than I would expect it to be this time of year.
It got worse because we got the 70s there for a few days,
right,
which kind of gave you a false sense of security. Yeah,
yep.
Summer's coming.
Yep.
Nah, old man Winter said, nope, I still got a couple weeks left in me.
Yeah, you got to give us a little kick in the pants before she lets in the warm spring-summer temperatures.
Yeah. So you want to get into a little news, my friend? A little Easter news today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll just say before the news, just kind of commemorating on Easter Sunday. You guys remember when they used to do the Easter parade, right? They used to televise it. I miss that. I know the Christmas parade is kind of the big one for the year, but I don't know. I kind of always enjoyed Easter Sunday because we had more time than Christmas. It's just way too busy to really watch and enjoy the parade, and I really miss that they don't do the Easter parade anymore.
Oh, I do too. Well, anytime I could see, like when stuff like that's on, it's like I'm getting an extra peek of the park. Even though you can go on YouTube and watch all these videos now and all that, it's just like something extra special, kind of like with the Illuminations thing the other night. Anytime you can get something, even though it's taped, you know it's taped, it still feels live to you if you follow me. Like it gives you a little piece of Disney unexpectedly.
Yeah, to me. A little glimpse into the world.
You like it, John? Did you?
Yeah. I miss them showing it because, yeah, like you said, Christmas is just pandemonium. You know, you've got
right.
So many things going on, and Easter is more of a relaxed holiday. So yeah, it's kind of like Thanksgiving when you get up and get your cup of coffee and watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It'd be nice to get up and just watch the Disney Easter Parade, but no more.
We have pictures of it because our first year we went down was in '97. So we have pictures of the regular parade that they run in the park. Because know how they don't just run it just on Easter Day. They have different.
Yeah. You know,
and we got to see all that. And it was really beautiful. And just the eggs and the different decorations. That's one thing that Disney does above and beyond anybody else is they do go over the top for all the different holidays, don't they? Like the major holidays, you see in the different decorations, like Mickey as an egg somewhere, and Donald. I posted a couple pictures this morning to say Happy Easter to everybody with Goofy and all. It's awesome the creativity that they have with the characters for the different holidays.
Oh, it is, and for us, it was always coming out of a cold New England winter. You had the they had the women dressed up in the pastel colors with the parasols, and just all those spring colors, and I don't know, it just kind of to me kicked spring off, and just gave you a good feeling about, like I said, coming out of a cold, snowy winter. Usually,
Come on, pick me up then. Let's go.
All right. Anyways, here.
Off with the news.
Off with the news. So, Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps from Zootopia are now appearing at the Magic Kingdom. This is interesting, and I think we mentioned this on the last show. Yeah, they debuted this morning. I'm not sure when that was. Probably earlier in the week, but. The movie, the Shake It, Dance It, Play It street party at the Magic Kingdom. So, I guess they joined the actual street party. If I could get my iPad to operate here properly, what's going on?
You're having problems with that iPad lately.
I'm telling you, it's terrible.
You got to restart that puppy.
Here we go. Yeah, the Zootopia duo are aboard the main MC float that stops in front of Cinderella Castle. Although they are appearing in the street party, they won't be appearing for meet and greet, so I guess you just get to see them, and that's it.
They're big timing you.
Yeah. Have either of you seen this movie? Or
Not yet, but I plan on it.
Yeah, I have not either, so these, it looks like a fox and a rabbit to me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that is. They're the main two characters of the whole movie.
All right. I didn't even know that much. So, nice to see new characters, though. And, they, as Disney's apt to do, they kind of, take advantage of a movie that's out and integrate those characters into the park so that everyone gets excited and hopefully goes to see the movie over and over and over, and they make lots and lots of money.
Yeah. The Once Upon a Time from ABC?
Yes.
The show that Jennifer Goodwin, the one that plays Snow White, is she's the lead character. She plays the rabbit in that.
Right.
Do you guys watch that? Did you stop? You stopped watching it, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, I watched it like the first two seasons, and I just lost my the wife and my daughter watch it religiously every week, but I do not anymore.
And what about you, Johnny?
No, I've never seen it, so
I watch it still, but and I'm gonna complain again. But it's like they live in Storybrooke. And it's like every week, it's like they're under attack. It's like, can it be happy just one week? It's supposed to be the happiest place on earth. It's supposed to be Disney World. But it's like, it's relentless that every single episode somebody's out to get them or do this. Can't they just go have a picnic in the park one week and calm down?
You know what it is, Doug? Happy is boring.
Yeah.
No, but it started off that way where like they would slowly develop something. Now every week has to be over the top with the medieval grabbing them and taking them back to this world and to that world and this witch killing that witch, and it's like, ain't there anybody happy in Storybrooke? I mean, how do they have time? How did Snow White and Prince Charming have a chance to have these babies? They're under attack all the time.
They probably figure if they don't have anything exciting happening, people will tune out. So.
And then every week you think you're getting rid of somebody, and they're gone, they're banished, they're never coming back. Two shows later, they're after you again.
Sounds an awful lot like wrestling or something.
Yeah, it is. It's gotten to the point, like, I'm so far into it, so many seasons, where I can't miss it now.
Right.
But
you're hooked.
I'm stuck. I'm not hooked anymore. I'm just stuck with it. But it's too much. They have to take it back to a little bit more peaceful. A couple shows of just chilling, in my opinion. But go on, that's Once Upon a Time segment for this week.
Yeah, it's just interesting here, pictures, and not that the listeners can see them, but if you go online or you have been online this week, I'm sure you've seen them, but the Premier Theater demolition is underway at the studios, and Yeah, they're going to town here. Let's see, located on the streets of America, the theater was walled off with most of the section back in January. So construction continues at the studios, as we all well know, but the exact use of the land being cleared is not yet clear, with the new Toy Story and Star Wars lands expected to be in other areas of the park. The leading theory is that initially the cleared land will be used as a staging area for the construction of the new lands. The theater was originally an open-air home to a number of stage shows, including Hunchback of Notre Dame and Pocahontas. In 2008, the theater was enclosed to become home to the special events at the park, often used during the holidays and Star Wars weekends. Yeah, that's an interesting theory, but it makes kind of sense that they would clear out a large swath of land to stage all the construction stuff to, you know, build those two lands.
Yeah, that's where all the construction trailers come in and they set up, and, you know, that's going to be the center point. It'll probably be the central hub for all the construction going on.
Yeah, yeah, it makes...
Yeah, they need places for the, you know, the foremen to sit and yell at you and tell you what to do all day.
Yeah.
You know, you guys work all weekend, 7 days a week, while we go home and play with the dog and the kids, and it ain't that hard.
Not that you're bitter or anything, right?
No. They need somewhere for the big guys to sit and yell and scream all day.
Right, right. So anyways.
They tell you this works and it don't until they come in and see it.
Let's see here. Also, the Royal Summer House Frozen Meet and Greet construction at Norway's Pavilion continues. Let's see. The construction at Epcot's Norway Pavilion is continuing ahead of the Frozen relaunch of the pavilion later this summer. All of the visible work is taking place on the facade of what will be the Royal Summer House character meet and greet area. So, John, I know you've been there recently. Is it starting to really come into focus as far as the what you can see behind the construction walls over there
in
Norway?
Yeah, you can really start to see it come together, and just the size and the scope of the building is going to really looks like it's going to be massive. And yeah, like we talked before, I'm just hoping that the inside queue is long enough to get people off of the promenade. I hope there's not. You know, especially during like the food and wine festival, that line trickling out and getting stuck out there around the margarita stand or something, you know.
Yeah. Right.
People mix up which line you're standing in, so.
Yeah, that creates a bottleneck as it is, and you're right. If they don't do that, that could be problematic.
Yeah, because they took up all that ground there too, where the boat used to be. Remember the old play, the boat that the kids could play in and all?
Yeah, the Viking ship.
Yeah, they ripped that completely out of there, didn't they, Johnny?
Yeah, that's been gone for a while.
You got all that area there just to for meet and greet.
You can't even get back to those restrooms right now. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just weird to see. This is the first wall you ever seen up really in Epcot for me. You know what I mean? I'm not used to World Showcase having walls up. You're used to that in the Magic Kingdom and at the studios and Animal Kingdom, but you've not used to it in World Showcase. Showcase. It's been a while since something's really been done back there.
Yeah, right. One of the saddest things you can see is you walk back into Norway, and really there's nothing back there right now, but you walk back there and you know where you used to be able to see the boats that come towards the waterfall and then turn and go down the other. Right now, it just got plywood across the front of it, so it looks so depressing. Just terrible.
I used to love seeing that boat come out, and it used to be so great when you'd take somebody on that ride for the first time that had no idea what it was. You could scare the bejesus out of them.
really
could.
My daughter, for whatever reason, always used to freak out over that. It just, you know, even though we all know that it was not really that big of a drop at all, but if you, like you said, Doug, if you were just walking up in the pavilion for the first time and you see that and a couple of people start yelling, just fooling around as they go down the falls there, it can build up some anxiety in people that don't like that type of stuff.
Well, people heard me say it many a times on this show. My sister-in-law is afraid to death of roller coasters, drops of any type, and everybody that she knew told her it wasn't a big deal, but when me and my brother got a hold of her, because when you start up that first climb,
right,
that hill seems like you're climbing like you're going to fall. It reminds you of the hill at Splash Mountain. You're going up. You're thinking, even my first time, I'm thinking, this is going to be something.
Right.
And then it little putters out like it's nothing. Well, we had her believing the whole way up. I mean, she started digging her nails into my brother's leg. You know what I mean? And when she got to the top, her hair was standing on end, and then all of a sudden it just dropped, and we got what for when we got off. But it was worth it. But yeah, you could scare somebody getting on that with that first uphill.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's see. Again, I guess this week we're full of photo news from down there. But anyways, new concept art for the Coca-Cola store construction update. We had heard about this, that there was going to be a Coca-Cola store. And I know, Doug, you're kind of off the soda now. But nevertheless, I think Coke was your brand of choice, was it not?
Coke and Pepsi. Oh, okay. And I've been having a few here and there get me through these 50 days, let me tell you.
Okay,
but,
well.
But I'm not drinking it like I used to. I'll have a couple here and there just to get me through the day. Like, I'll grab one after lunch, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just for the caffeine.
Kickstart.
Yeah, it was either that or Red Bull, and I know my body can take this. I'm not going to get hooked on the Red Bull.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
Red Bull wants to be a sponsor.
Right.
If you need a pick me up to get you around the parks, don't forget to pull your ice cold Red Bull out of your pouch.
There you go.
Out of your backpack. So, go ahead with Coca-Cola.
You use them drinks, John, when you're driving or no?
Yeah, I drink too much soda. I'm a big Diet Coke fan. I stop every morning and get my big giant soda. So, yeah, okay. And my son's a Coca-Cola fan, so I imagine we'll have to check that building out once it opens. So.
Yeah, I mean,
looking,
as we
it looks
all
good.
Know, yeah, I mean, Coke stuff. I mean, from a collectible perspective, I mean, that's a lot of people collect that. And there's some nice old signs in the old not the dispensaries, but the machines. You know, the Coke machines and coolers and such. I mean, that is a big market for that stuff. So I would imagine, even though this will be all new stuff, people that have a collection or want to add to their collection will. You know, purchase some stuff in the air.
Yeah, we got quite a few. My wife used to be in the Coke stuff.
Yeah.
The Coke collectibles. So we have quite a few in a bin upstairs that I haven't seen in years. Plus, we used to have a deli where we had a couple. We used to own a deli years ago, and we had some old Coke signs in there. So I love my Coca-Cola stuff. I was more of a Pepsi fan for the longest time, but as I've gotten older, either one's fine with me now.
Yeah. Yeah, that people used to be. I guess some people still are pretty passionate about one or the other, but I agree with you, Doug. I don't drink soda that often, but when I do, it really doesn't matter to me, Coke or Pepsi.
What the deciding factor is for me when I go in Target, whatever one's 3 for $10 or
yeah,
3
exactly.
for 11.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we drink.
Whichever one's on sale.
Yep.
Good
did
way
you,
to look at it.
Did you see in that article that it said there's going to be a polar bear experience? What do you think? That's going to be a meet and greet with the polar bears or something? Or?
Yeah, well, let's see here. Located in the town center, inspired by the 1920s-era Coca-Cola bottling plant design, it will feature a wide selection of Coca-Cola merchandise, a Coca-Cola polar bear experience, and a roped rooftop beverage bar. I have no idea, John.
I wonder if there's going to be rum and cokes in that beverage bar.
Well, maybe they're going to bring the polar bear from the
Expedition Everest.
No, no,
he won't work.
No, from the Maelstrom. From Maelstrom.
Yeah, there
maybe
you go.
Maybe he will.
Yeah, they'll bring him over there, and that's how we're going to get our Maelstrom fix.
Well, hopefully.
I have no idea, but a polar bear experience. That we'll have to do some investigating on that one because I have no idea.
There's probably going to be some kind of animatronics in there. And I wonder if this place, as big as this building is, it's going to have to serve some kind of food.
Oh, yeah. I would think. I don't know who Coke is affiliated with or what food items. I'm sure they must own some food companies or subsidiaries. You know what they're affiliated with? Or
no, but there's going to be some kind of, this is going to be a restaurant, I bet you, somewhere. With
yeah.
The Coke, the beverage bar up top. It really looks cool, the beverage bar.
Yeah, I mean, they might have ice cream floats and stuff, but I know what you're saying. Maybe, you know, burgers or, you know, something that would go good with a Coke, which a burger would, certainly, but maybe they'll have other stuff as well.
It looks awesome. Did you guys see, ain't that glass roof
yeah.
on top of the roof really look cool? Like that umbrella, like the overhang, the awning kind of thing made out of glass. That's
yeah.
awesome.
It is.
Yeah. It looks It looks really nice, and then the red brick on the side, it's going to blend in really well with that the theming of the spring. So, yeah, I think it's going to fit in perfect.
I think I'm going to have a coconut smile, guys.
There you go.
It's a blast from the past.
Yep.
Let's see, and as Disney is apt to do, we're just barely crawling out of spring, as we were just saying in the opening. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party Days are confirmed for 2016. And details of the costume policy. So, yeah, I mean, people plan trips on, you know, a year out and sometimes longer than that. But for those that are going down to Disney World this fall, September, party nights will be the 2nd, 8th, 11th, 13th, 16th, 18th, 20th, 23rd, 25th, 29th, and 30th. And then during October, it'll be the 2nd, 4th, 6th, 7th, 10th, 11th, 13th, 14th, 16th, 18th, 20th, 21st, 23, 25, 27, 28, 30, and 31.
I think it would have been easier just to announce the days it wasn't going to be.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I know we rail against this every year that the parties become more and more, but let's see. It says it right
there
here.
There are 29 dates.
29 dates up from 25 in 2015, so they've upped it four. This year, and I think they've upped it a couple nights each of the past couple years. So I think you're right, Doug. Pretty soon, from September 1st to October 31st, will just be nonstop Halloween parties at night.
Exactly. And again, this is why I'm always on the soapbox about the park hopper crap. It's like everybody can't afford to do the parties on top of it. And it's like, if you're going to be shutting the park down, 29 days, you know how many trips that affects?
That's a month. I mean, that's
exactly.
That's crazy. I mean, it's as much as I like the parties, and I did say that, you know, unless something new is offered or they change it up dramatically, I won't be attending in the near future. But I recommend that anyone that's never seen it to go see it. But that's a month of nights in the fall that anybody that's either a local like John or is traveling on a vacation cannot, you know, experience the Magic Kingdom after. What, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. if they don't
7 o'clock, right? And
yeah.
Kick everybody
yeah.
in.
So
what
that's,
if you're going to be there the week of the 10th, of October 10th? Say you're going to be there. The parties at the Magic Kingdom, the 10th, the 11th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 16th. So you got 2 days to stay late.
Right.
So if you're not, like I said a million times, we're seasoned veterans, so we would look for all this crap if we were going down there. And it's not crap. I like the shows. They're
right.
Beautiful. They're wonderful. They're a great time. But my point is, the normal people who call me to book their trip, and I try to let them know, half the time, you know what I'm saying, and you know your employees or people you do things for, John, or you know your boss or whatever. You say a lot of things to people that you deal with every day that they take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Goes in one ear and out the other. So.
Yeah, they don't listen to you. So you're booking a trip sometime for a busy, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but they're busy, they work hard, and you tell them, listen, Terry, the week that you're going to be down there, the party's five nights out of that week. You might want to not go to the, figure out the two nights that the party isn't there to go to the Magic Kingdom. Okay, we'll do, Doug. And then they plan their dining differently, or their days
right.
fall differently. So now two nights out of that week, you're kicked out. Only two nights you have the chance to stay late at the parks. And that ain't fair.
No, and you're right, Doug. With everything that goes with a Walt Disney World vacation, what night the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is probably 50th on the list of things you're worried about. Again, for the first time or you know, second or third time traveler, you're right. They're not going to pay attention to that. And I guarantee you, every night at the Magic Kingdom, as they learn, maybe they don't learn that the kingdom's closing early until that morning or something. So then you're stuck with maybe having to change an ADR or changing your schedule or where you're going to go. And it's just, you know, it's an annoyance, I guess, is what I would say. It's not a tragedy. It's not the end of the world. But it's definitely an annoyance if you're not paying attention to it.
Exactly, and if you don't have Park Hopper and the other parks are open late, especially now, Animal Kingdom is going to be open later too by the time this comes around. So you got three options to be at other parks later than 7 o'clock if you're getting kicked out. And the thing is, in October, 18 of the 31 days is Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Right. Yeah.
You got 13 days in there. So, I mean, it just isn't fair. And like I said, and I know everybody gets mad at me, blah, 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 but it's to the point where with the price of your tickets and all now, you should be able to spend, for the money they're charging, you should be able to spend the entire day in a park. as much as you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. You're paying, you know, that's the intent when you purchase that ticket, is you're getting a full day of access to that particular park. And those days are over. I mean, you know, you may get that, but then again, you may not. And, yeah. You know, not that it's in this story, but, you know, October 31st, I guarantee you November 1st or 2nd, the Christmas party starts. So it just rolls right on. And
yeah,
it doesn't
basically have almost 4 months of you have to pick and choose what day you can go to the Magic Kingdom and stay late. So.
Yeah, and most people, that's – and not just that. Like, and I know this because you book, and especially with having – you have a couple daughters and young sons. That's the part they want to be at the most.
Absolutely.
So you're basically ruining your lot of your – you're losing time because you can't go anywhere else. And it's sad. I mean, how many – usually on a trip of 7 days, if you have young kids, you're probably at the Magic Kingdom half those days.
Oh, sure. Easy. And you're right. I mean, let's face it, as much as the other parks, and, you know, we've all shared, you know, I think Epcot is our favorite parks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yep.
But
Animal Kingdom, Epcot,
yeah.
Neck and neck for me.
But the Magic Kingdom is the park. And, you know, even though Epcot's my favorite, I mean, the Magic Kingdom is the iconic park. It's the first park. It's what, you know, people think of, or, you know, when they think of Disney World. And it'll always be that way, I think, regardless of how popular Epcot is, or I like or enjoy Epcot. You're right, Doug. Kids and even adults. I mean, when you go back and relive your childhood, or when you have them potentially grandchildren or whatever, you're going to relive that all over again. So, yeah, Magic Kingdom is definitely a place where most families spend a good amount of their vacation time.
Yeah, and you're talking, if there's, like, that week I was just showing you, five of the seven nights has the party. So 5 of the 7 days, you're out of the park by 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You have no choice. That's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair, but unfortunately, I mean, we've been talking about this for, what, 3 years now. We, you know,
yeah.
This is no surprise and to us that these would continue to expand, and they've done just that.
But like we've talked about, I said it off the air, because we might as well continue, too, and just cover this story, too, at the same time. The extra $150 for the 3 hours, Dan. Ain't that wonderful?
Yeah, I'm saving my money now to do that.
Exactly, and that's the point. It's like you're getting less for more constantly, and we're not going to change, but I have a good friend of mine, John, that works for me, and I told you the story during the week.
Right.
His wife listens to our show. She drinks the Kool-Aid. She, all the time, he's texting me at night asking me questions from things that his wife heard or wants to know. And we're mixing up mud, getting ready to go to work on Wednesday morning of this week, or Thursday, whatever it was. And he goes, "You heard about that $150 thing?" I said, "Yeah." And he's going on about other things. He goes, "This is the first time my wife ever said that she's starting to get tired of all this." And this is a Disney lifer. This is somebody that's been down there 30 times like us.
Yep.
Not, you know, we've been more than that, but they're twice a year they're going now, and they have grandkids they want to take down. And he said she's really starting to get tired of all the nickel and diming.
Well, it's not even nickel and diming. It's dollars and five and
tens and twenties.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It really is. And I actually contemplated, maybe I'll do it for the next show, but I saw it on Facebook this morning, Doug, and it was an open letter, and it was from the dad's, I forget what site it was, but basically it was an open letter to Bob Iger, and it basically outlined all of these upcharges and basically made the whole point about, you know, how outrageous this all is with the resort fees and the $150 at night and the parking going up. And it was, you know, basically what we've been saying right along with its pricing the average Joe out of being able to enjoy a Walt Disney World vacation. And it was very well written, and it like I said, it encapsulated. And maybe I'll print it out and read it on next week's show, because it really does it justice. And he really did send it in to Bob Iger. And what I would recommend that, you know, your friend there does is, you know, send it in, send them an email. I mean, I don't know that it'll help, but I mean, if enough people complain and they get enough negative feedback, maybe we can, if not stop it, at least curtail the spike and all these price gouging,
well,
if you will.
Well, we really need to do, I mean, we'll talk about it another time where we get more into it over the next few weeks, but we're really going to be revamping our website and everything else in the future. We're going to start, now that we got the podcast and everything else running the way we wanted to, touch on wood, We're going to start focusing time on getting our website the way we want it to. And we need a groundswell. You need people like Lou Mangiello and Be Our Guest and the Disboards. And you need the whole community to start. Not, I mean, we need the reason we started this is so we have a voice.
Right.
And the voice starts to need to be heard because it's getting to the point where it's going crazy. And again, it's not for me because I've said it 100 times. I said it to you the other night. It cost me less than it did 15 years ago to go on a Disney World trip.
Right.
Because of me being a travel agent. Because of all the work I put in, I get discounts. Just like you used to when you worked for the Disney store. But the point of it is the voices need to be heard for the common. I mean, the people to get up every day and work their butt off, and their daughters and children want to go to Disney World.
Right.
Enough is enough already. And I said it 100 times. They're only doing this because they're printing money now. If they, you don't build all this stuff without having the money to build all this stuff. It just don't happen when things are bad.
Right.
They have more money than they know what to do with right now, and they're taking advantage of us.
I actually have that letter up. Do you want me to read it or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, it's kind of lengthy, but I think it'll do justice to the point we're trying to make. So, yeah, this is from, and let me do the proper, it's Dad's Guide to Walt Disney World. So if you guys want to go over to www.dadsguidetowaltdisneyworld.com, you can see this. But anyways, let's see. Okay, so he writes this to Bob Iger. Hey, Bob, what are you thinking? This morning, you all leaked information about the new Disney Early Morning Magic Fantasyland. You know the new program where you let guests pay $69 to ride 3 rides in Fantasyland and get some pastries and juice. How nice of you. This is just a couple of days after you announced Magic Kingdom After Hours. That one is even more outrageous. $149 per person for just 3 hours in the Magic Kingdom. Shoot, the highest price for a whole day ticket on Christmas Day is only $124. So what's going on? Why the sudden need to create outrageously priced special events that will only be available to a select few? I can just imagine the corporate drivel he'd probably spout about how people want more hours in the Magic Kingdom with smaller crowds. That's totally true. By the way, I could tell you that to make this happen, call me. You're probably saying this is the best way we've found to accommodate that. Let's talk about that. I'm sure you and your bean counters are saying we have plenty of people that would pay a lot of money for extra time in the parks. My answer would be yes. Yes, you sure do. Plenty of people like those New York housewives that totally destroyed your great relationship with special needs guests. Those people. People like the 1% that everyone hates. Those people. People that will shell out $150 per person to spend 3 hours in the Magic Kingdom, so they don't have to rub elbows with the commoners, those people. Let me give you a big warning, Bob. You are starting to get the reputation that you would rather have those people than the rest of us working stiffs. Oh, let's not forget, of all those new money-grabbing programs come on top of the fifth year in a row, you've raised prices 6% or so when the economy had a growth rate of 1% or less. So the average Disney guest is now paying 20% more in real dollars for their Disney vacations than they were just 5 years ago. That's just crazy. And there are rumors that this is just the beginning of the price increases. You have one planned for the resorts this summer and probably another big one first thing in 2017. Crazy. Okay, Bob, truly you want to help, so let's have a discussion about what is so special about Disney to a lot of us. Let's talk a little bit about the Disney brand. One of the things that the Disney company has always been known for is being a company that made dreams come true for everyone. We all loved it because we could relate to the heroes who were common people. Snow White and the Dwarfs, Cinderella, Aladdin, and even Mickey himself were characters of the people. When royalty was portrayed, only the humble royals were celebrated. Those with the haughty and money-grabbing usually came at a very inglorious end. Lately, I think Disney has lost its way. It pains me to say it. It looks to me like a lot of us out here in Reelsville is that Disney, the brand, has become haughty and money-grabbing. Some of us are getting fearful that an inglorious end is in sight. Don't believe me? Let's just look at what you've built over the last few years. Let's start with the bungalows at the Polynesian Village Resort. I can tell you I salivated over those when they were being built. I told my wife for years that when DVC came to the Polynesian, we were buying DVC points. Then I heard about the point requirements for the bungalows. Crazy talk. To buy enough points for just 1 week in a bungalow during the lowest price part of the year would cost more than I made in a year as an air traffic controller. That's not a low-paying job. There is no way on earth that I would ever be able to afford even a night in a bungalow. Even if I rented points, it would be stupid for me to spend that much money for just one night in a hotel room. I don't care what the view is. Oh, and let's not forget about that shrine you've built to those people between the Wilderness Lodge and Port Orleans. You know, the one I'm talking about, the Four Seasons Hotel in the Golden Oaks. What does one of those houses cost? At least $1 million? Even the most recent value resort is a complete joke. There is no value in something that starts at over $300 per night. Shoot, a family suite at the Art of Animation is more expensive than any of the moderates. That's no value. This really isn't helping Disney's image, Bob. If you look at all the articles that are coming out about Disney, including one from Fromers, of all the people, about how Disney is now considered a company of the 1%. A lot of us normal people are starting to grumble. I hear it all the time on my website and social media. More and more people are talking about abandoning Disney and moving on to another more reasonably priced vacation options. Yes, I know you are having record attendance. I know revenues are through the roof. I know that every price increase is met with howls, but the bottom line keeps moving up. But at what cost? Is having a high stock price more important than being the company of the little guy, like Walt? Is setting income records more important than making dreams come true for those not in the 1%? Remember, Bob, like a lot of characters in your movies, pride goeth before a fall. The bottom line is, this wasn't Walt's way. Walt was all about creating magic for us common folks. When Walt died, it cost less than $4 to get into the Magic Kingdom. I don't think he would be very proud at the way the company is headed today. One of your biggest fans, Carl, parentheses, Dad, Trent.
Bravo, Carl. You did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what you've been saying for a couple of weeks now, Doug, and a lot of other people, and the friend that you mentioned earlier in the show. Yeah, I think that does encapsulate it.
We got people that make I got friends that make a lot of money that go all the time that are telling me now with the way it's getting, they're going to have to start going every other year or every 3 years. And when you're addicted to something like we are, like I work all year to go for my trip or two. It's like what gets you through the day.
Right.
And when you guys start working an entire year and still can't afford to go, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah. I don't know where it's all going to end. And like I said, each of us have our own breaking point because of, we all have different budgets and stuff like that. But, everybody will get to that point. Some it may never get to. Others may have already passed. And some will be at some near point, in the near future.
Well, I can name two entities that thought the same way as Disney's thinking right now that were just as big as Disney was. Do you think in the 50s that boxing ever thought that boxing would be as big of a joke as it is right now? When you were in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you were the heavyweight champion. You were on top of the world, weren't you? You could print money. Boxing couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. When Muhammad Ali was in his heyday, or Hagler Hearns, or, any of those guys. Ooh. I mean, you're right. I mean,
boxing's a joke now.
Yeah. It's beneath wrestling almost.
Exactly. Like, it isn't like it used to be. And what about Major League Baseball? Major League Baseball used to be the highest sport in the world. Now they're number three, and they don't do anywhere near what they used to. You remember before they went on the strike how they thought they were invincible?
Yeah, well, we all have theories on that, but I think the fact that the game is slow and they the kids aren't watching it, they're losing generations of fans, and that game is in trouble. America's pastime is in trouble.
Exactly, but if so, you'd have said that in the 20s, the 30s, even up to the 70s and 80s, it's still doing great. I love going to a ball game. I love my Phillies. But the point was, baseball could do nothing wrong. They were printing money
right, just
like Disney is right now.
Yep.
And then after a while, what happened was the strike in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, is when Major League Baseball went on strike, is when everybody said, you big babies, you have guaranteed contracts. It isn't like football. Like, at least football gets a little sympathy because those players could be fired tomorrow and they don't get any money. Their contracts are not guaranteed. Major League Baseball, you could stub your finger, and if you have a 15-year – break your finger and you don't want to play for – you get a 15-year deal, you're paid for it. And everybody got tired of hearing the babies cry.
Right.
We're going on strike because we're not making enough. Are you kidding me? And after a point, people stop going.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned baseball, Doug, because I was a major Atlanta Braves fan back before the strike. When I was in the Navy in 93, I went to several games, see them play the Mets. And then I went to actually Atlanta to go to Fulton County Stadium, saw them in the World Series and everything. And after the strike, I never, ever, I can't sit and watch a baseball game now. I have no interest in it anymore. It just completely killed my love for the game. So.
Exactly, and that's my point I'm making. I'm not saying, and we're only doing this because we love it so much. You only complain about what you care about.
Right.
If it didn't mean anything to us, we wouldn't bring it up all the time. But, like, I keep trying to get away with this, and I know, and we got our good friend reached out to us about complaining, blah, 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 and I'm sorry about it. But the point is, every week they keep filling us with more and more ammunition. It's like, I'd feel like we're not doing our justice by not talking about it.
No, and I agree, Doug. You know, apathy is the worst possible thing. When you stop caring about something, that's when you know it's the end is near. And you know, I don't think any of the three of us are saying that we're at that point. We're trying to prevent it from getting to that point. And you know, if it ever did come to the point where I couldn't afford it, I mean, it'd be a tough thing because it's, you know, like I've said many times, it's what I choose to do with my disposable income. But if there comes a point where I don't have enough of that disposable income to afford a Disney World vacation, then I'm going to have to stop going. And also one, I'm a firm believer, I don't like going to Disney World on a budget. Well, how can I say this? I don't like skimping when I go to Disney World. I like to go and have plenty of money and do what I want to do when I want to do it. If I, and I've done it before, I will forgo a trip and save up an extra 6 months in order to have enough money to be comfortable. In other words, I don't want to be counting my money as I'm down there.
Because we've done that before.
Right, right.
We spent money down there that we didn't have.
Exactly.
You know, and that's wrong too.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
Dennis, what you just said there is why we don't go every weekend. I mean, we're 60 miles away. And my wife has a Prius. I mean, so we can drive to Disney World and back for about $10. And so that's not a factor. It's that when I'm there, I don't want to, okay, well, we have $8 for lunch and we can't eat dinner and we're going to have to leave the property and go over to CC's and eat pizza and come back. I don't want to do that. You know,
right.
When we do go once a month or so, I want to be able to eat where we want to and enjoy ourselves. And that's why we don't go every weekend, because we have the things that we want to enjoy ourselves with and not be on a tight budget every time we go. So
in a way, John, the price increases in total are affecting the way you visit Walt Disney World already in a small way.
Yeah, because we have the annual passes and I make payments on them and stuff like that. They're not as big a factor, but when, you know, the food increases and stuff like that are a bigger deal to us than
right.
just about anything else. And just the I mean, and my wife has to get it one every time, the souvenir prices,
right.
You know, the merchandise, every time it goes up, it's just another factor to really slow us down. But yeah, I would say the food is probably one of the biggest factors that really slows us down from going all the time. So
right, and we said it last week, and those are the, not the hidden costs, but those aren't even making the headlines. You know, when they bump up a meal by $2 or $3, it, you know, it almost goes unnoticed. But you know, when you add that up times four people, and they do that twice a year or three times a year, you know, next thing you know, it's an extra $20. You know,
well, you look at the, like, perfect, like, I love the lobster roll at the Columbia Harbor House. That's going up like a buck over the past 10 years. Every year it's going up.
Yeah.
50 cents, 25. Every item goes up a couple, within a dollar range every single year.
Right. And I think.
And that all adds up. At the end of the week, it's another couple $100 a person.
Right. And I think, you know, there were a lot of cogent points in that open letter, but one of them, which, you know, I think you even mentioned, Doug, I mean, I'm okay with if inflation goes up 1.2%, if Disney raised prices 1-2%. 0.2%.
I'll give you two.
Right.
Yeah, go up 2%, buddy.
Two. Exactly. That's
that reasonable. Was my point a few weeks ago.
I understand there's overhead. I understand you're going to pay for fuel to get the materials and the food items to, you know, I understand how the economy works. There things are more expensive nowadays. You know, I get that. But, you know, let's be reasonable. 1% is not 6%. That's just, you know, to put it quite honestly, it's gouging.
That's why I went nuts a few weeks ago when our buddy Liam got upset with it. And I'm glad. I'm glad he did. I want everybody to reach out to us, good or bad. I want to hear your points. That's why we do this.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was, okay, so fuel prices are down now. Like, when fuel was up, everybody was saying we have to charge you more because food prices, everything goes up when gas for trucking is up. Now, John, has your boss dropped any prices? Because you understand, nobody's dropping anything
when
the fuel goes down.
One of the things I complain about most to my customers is we still charge a fuel surcharge. And the fuel surcharge was instituted about 2 years ago when diesel was at $3.85. You know,
exactly.
And now it's $2.19. I fill up every morning, and it costs me almost half the price to fill my truck up as opposed to a year or 2 years ago. And nope, that fuel surcharge is still on there. And it angers me. So
exactly. And I'm not trying to get you in. I'm sorry, brother. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, yes. But I've seen it with my deliveries. And I stopped it because, like, a few years ago when I would load a basement, I charged an extra $25 for the fuel for that day. Well, I don't do any of that. So when prices go down, I stopped doing it because people kept asking about it. It was more of a hassle than anything else. But my point is, Disney and all these other companies would say how expensive gas is. It costed them more to deliver the fuel and the stuff around the parks. Well, gas prices are in half, and they ain't lowering prices for that.
Yeah, it's just like the government, to me anyways. You know, once they institute a tax increase, even when they say, you know, the great example is, okay, we're going to open up a toll road, but when it's paid off, we're going to get rid of the tolls, and the tolls never, ever, ever come down.
Exactly, and that's the whole point here. It's like they just keep throwing fuel on the fire. It's like, stop already, guys. I mean, and the reason I'm more upset is I'm scared to death of what happens when Avatar Land, Star Wars Land, and Toy Story Land opens. Is it going to be 200 a day?
Yeah.
At this rate?
It will. If they go at this rate, it will be, Doug.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right.
It's insane.
Anyways, let's talk about food.
and again, like, look what we were before this. We're preaching to how beautiful the Coca-Cola building looks. It isn't that we hate it. We love it. We're talking about redoing the website. John wants to do it. We're going to be doing different things for the website. We're still excited about it. We love it. That's why I dragged my butt in here to record after, you know, 25 drinks. I want to talk Disney. I love it.
Exactly.
But it's like every time, every article, I'll read two positive things, and then all of a sudden I read something. It's like, really? I'm waiting for it to be a pickle charge, 50 cents a pickle.
Don't give them any ideas. All right, next story. And sorry about that exit stage right, but this has been a hot topic for us and all over, you know, the internet and social media. So we're just keeping in line with the
this is our newscast. Today.
Exactly. So we got our first look at the deluxe burger construction at Disney Springs. Again, this looks like a beautiful it looks like it's on the other side of one of those walking bridges to me. I can't really wrap my head around where it is. I don't know if you guys are actually looking at the
Yeah, it is. It looks on the other side,
yeah.
Yes.
So,
it's
from
Morimoto, it said, didn't it? So somewhere over that way. So.
Okay, yeah. Deluxe Burger is located in the New Town Center alongside the springs across from Morimoto Asia. I see what they're saying now. Signage is already in place, and it looks like this place isn't too far off. I'm looking forward to this one myself.
Absolutely. Those burgers they showed, it looked absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I mean, it's right around the corner. Deluxe Burger opens in May of 2016. Owned and operated by Disney, Deluxe Burger will offer gourmet burgers, gelato milkshakes, and macaroons with seating both indoors and outdoors with a view of the springs. So.
Now, if you go down to the bottom of the page, Dan, and hit the burger there, bring up the menu.
Okay.
You can see there's some of the menus of the burgers that first look at the food coming to Disney Springs. Here, I got it up here.
You got it.
Yeah, here's some of the lineup.
All right, go ahead.
The classic cheeseburger, beef patty top with cheddar, lettuce, tomato, and pickle. Pickles extra 50 cents. But that's probably mine. The classic cheeseburger.
Okay.
The barbecue classic burger, beef patty topped with fried onion rings, smoked gouda, bacon, barbecue sauce, and lettuce. The El Diablo burger.
That's me right there.
That's you there?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, that looks really, really good. Did you, what do you like, the Tex-Mex kind of deal?
Yeah, I like chorizo. So chorizo and a ground beef blend, that sounds really good. So.
Yeah, chorizo signature blend patty, fried banana.
Nice.
Fried banana peppers.
Peppers, yeah.
The comma was there. The way the sentence ran, I'm like, fried banana, holy moly. No, chorizo and signature blend patty, fried banana peppers, pepper jack cheese, lettuce, tomato, and chipotle mayonnaise. There you go, my buddy John.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Actually, that sounds good to me, too. I like a little zing. And although the classic burger there that you mentioned for us, Doug, how can you go wrong with a classic burger?
See, this is how I do this. I eat that first because it's not masking the taste. I want to taste the real beef on the burger. So
right.
I would do that first, and then I would go to these other ones that hide the taste.
There you go.
The Southern Classic Burger.
Right.
Beef patty topped with fried green tomatoes, pimento cheese, lettuce, and bacon.
Yeah.
Do you like pimento cheese?
I do.
Yeah, right? I like it too. So. Yeah, that one's pretty good too. I like fried green tomatoes too. So.
And then they got the Cluck Burger, which my wife would try to make me eat, but I'm not going to. Ground chicken patty, garlic herb sauce, avocado, lettuce, and tomato. And then you got a veggie burger. You have to anymore to be politically correct. House-made patty topped with tzatziki, green bean salad, lettuce, and tomato. And then they have these gelato shakes that look really, really good. And then they have for dessert, a red velvet burger macaron that looks just like a mini burger. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because it looks like the cheese coming out and everything.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking. So I'm excited about this. I'm excited that Disney owns it. They're not renting out another place. They're actually owning something down there. So I like when they build something
yeah,
themselves.
Absolutely. It's been a while since we've had particularly a restaurant come out. And, 5 years ago, that used to be my thing that I would rail about. I've gotten over it because there's enough partners and they've done a good job with working with, like, the Landry Group and some of the other ones that, I'm okay with it now. But it used to really bother me when Disney started outsourcing all of this stuff. So I am glad to see that they're going to operate this this particular location, and hopefully it's successful, and they do it some more.
Yeah, the burgers look delicious, man. The pictures, they're making me hungry for that Easter ham right now.
Oh, any idea if that's going to be a counter service or a table service? Or
I'm assuming it's counter service, John, but
yeah,
I don't know for sure.
See, I'm thinking it's table.
Okay.
So we'll take the bets here. I think it's going to be a sit-down.
All right. Well, we only have to wait till May, which is right around the corner, so we won't have to wait long.
I think they can maximize the buck if they have sit down with it.
Yeah, they can justify higher prices, right?
Exactly. The burger, and I'm not being smart,
no.
But would it be in downtown Disney with all these restaurants?
Right.
I don't. There's not many quick service that aren't full restaurants down there.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Unless they had some outdoors. No.
Yeah, you got the food trucks and everything, and
right.
You got the stands, but all the buildings that they're making major,
right.
Everything seems to be a full-scale restaurant. They haven't done many quick service, like a roll sandwich or anything.
Right.
Actually, I was going to say, I'm thinking maybe it could be like Wolfgang Puck's, where you're at the counter, you order, you go sit down, and you have a tent that you put up on your table, and then they bring
kind
the food up
to
you.
Kind of a hybrid.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm betting full sit-down. John's betting hybrid, and you're saying counter service. So we'll see who's right next month.
All right, I'll run out there in May and let you know. So.
There you go. It's your job.
Let's see. Next story. Parades and fireworks removed from the Magic Kingdom Fast Pass Plus lineup. Disney has updated the Magic Kingdom Fast Pass Plus offerings, which sees the removal of parades and fireworks. Wishes, Festival of Fantasy Parade, and the Main Street Electrical Parade are no longer part of Fast Pass Plus lineup at the park. Disney only recently built dedicated FastPass Plus viewing areas in the Main Street Plaza Gardens for firework viewing. So yeah, this is kind of interesting. I don't know.
I'm starting to smell maybe a special purchase.
Yeah, maybe that's what it
another
is.
One.
I mean, what else could it be? Like, what would be the reasoning to take it out?
Yeah, well, yeah, and as the story says, particularly where they put up the roped off areas, and they actually had the you know, the little round ball things there where you could scan your magic band up there. So maybe they'll just take all that down, and it'll just be a big wide open area. But
no, what I'm thinking is for an extra $10, $20, you can add that to your 15. Yeah, that's the going price lately. You can add that to, as a perk.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably
that's
right.
What I'm thinking. Or there's going to be some kind of, they're going to give you a bowl of, a basket of cookies or something that goes with it to justify it. You know, like they do with all the other parties. Yeah, you know, if you do this, we'll give you a Mickey cup with some popcorn in it, and you can go watch the fireworks.
Right.
But, I mean, why would that? They probably use the Fast Pass as the beta testing to see how it works.
Yeah.
Before they charge you for it, so there's no, or they might do it with like a dining option.
Right.
Maybe like Fantasmic or whatever. If you do dining, you get to go in. Like they, that's another option they get there at the Magic Kingdom.
I'm sure the other shoe is gonna drop soon. To your point.
There's gonna be something that is monetary. I'm telling you. There's no doubt in my mind. Even if they did like the dinner package, like our buddy Aaron did to see Fantasmic, at least it makes people do the dinner packages.
Right. Well, it's more to come on that, but that's happening nevertheless. And the last story I had, I'll just—it's actually a poll that this the website did, but I'm not going to do the poll per se. But I'm just going to read off a list of things that are coming in 2016, and it's quite an impressive list. Or you can look at it as what are you most anticipated or anticipating for 2016. But here's a list of the things that are coming this year that we're in. Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away, Tiffin's, which is a store down in Disney Springs, STK Orlando restaurant, Kilimanjaro.
Tiffin's, I thought, I'm sorry, Dennis, but I thought Tiffin's was that new restaurant at
you're right.
Animal Kingdom.
You are correct.
It is.
Thank you, John. I'm glad
I'm sorry.
Mentioned. No. STK Orlando, which is a restaurant at Disney Springs, Kilimanjaro Night Safari, Rivers of Light, Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair, Frozen Ever After, Frozen Royal Summer House, Soaring Around the World, Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular, The Edison, another restaurant at Disney Springs, and then the Town Center at Disney Springs, which is the last and final piece to be opened, and that'll be finished. So quite an impressive list of new offerings coming in the coming year.
Well, I just voted, and I voted for the right one.
So did I.
What, our least favorite sign was on the list?
Yeah, I voted for Rivers of Lights. That's what you voted for, right, John?
Yeah. It was that winning by a long shot, too. So.
That has 36% of the vote.
Okay.
Number two, what do you think is number two, Dan?
I'm going to guess it's the Frozen ride, Frozen Up After.
Nope, Soarin'.
Oh.
Around the World is number two with 25%.
That makes sense.
STK Orlando hasn't even got a vote. That would have been one of my ones I would have been looking for. Star Wars got 4%. The Edison got 2%. The Town Center at Disney Springs got 4%. Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away was 10%. And believe it or not, then...
Yes.
Frozen only has... Frozen Royal Summer House only has, like... 1% of the vote right now.
Wow. Probably they probably don't know what they're called, and that's why there's so little votes for some of these things. Like STK Orlando, unless you're in the know, you wouldn't have no idea what that means.
Yeah, there's like, that has zero votes as of right now.
Well, I'm going to get an ADR there for us, so I'm going.
Yeah, and Frozen Ever After only has 10% of the vote. So, I mean, I'm shocked. I mean, I knew River of Lights would be number one, but I thought Frozen would be a little closer up the scale. I mean, Soarin' Around the World, I am excited about that, too.
Yeah, I am, too. That really looks cool.
And I'm curious of what the Land Pavilion is going to look like when it's all said and done.
Crazy? How about packed?
Yes.
I'm talking about the entrances and if they change something up. I'm really curious of how that's going to end up. So
who knows? Anyways, moving right along here. Yeah, this was interesting development early last week. It kind of goes against what we had predicted, but nevertheless, it's not a done deal, but I'll read it anyways. But Muppet Vision 3D and Mama Melrose's area to be renamed Muppet's Courtyard. We are just over a week away from the closure of much of the backlot area of Disney's Hollywood Studios, and one of the few remaining areas will get a new name. Muppet Vision 3D and Mama Melrose's Ristorante Italiano, which are currently classified as being on the streets of America, will officially be part of a new area called Muppet's Courtyard. Rather intriguingly, the naming of this area would seem to further indicate that the Muppets theme is indeed coming to the currently closed Pizza Planet. Closing at the end of April 2nd on the streets of America will be Lights, Motors, Action, Extreme Stunt Show, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playground, Studio Catering Company, High Octane Refreshments, Watto's Grotto, The Writer's Stop, oh, that hurts, Hughes Guys Merchandise, and Prop Shop. So, what do you guys make of this?
Well, it looks like they're going to be here to stay. I guess Star Wars Land's going to be built all throughout the back there then.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to make sense, but I guess we'll have to wait and see and trust that what they're doing is going to work. But with all that being, you know, tentatively slated for Star Wars Land, it just doesn't make sense to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, unless that's going to go directly... What I'm thinking is, unless that's going to go directly back, if you follow what I'm saying, like the whole back area now is going to be Hollywood Studios, and maybe they do something else with the side there.
Right. Well, I'm sure they know what they're doing, and I will trust that they will do it well, and it will all work out in the end. And, you know, I think we all agreed, or at least Doug and I agreed, I'm not sure what your opinion was, John, that, you know, you'd prefer to see Muppets stay or in some way, shape, way, or form, whether they get an updated attraction or Pizza Planet, Pizza Planet being converted to a Muppets-themed pizza place.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. And the Muppet 3D is one of my favorite attractions out there. So, yeah, it's and a blast from, you know, all of our childhood. So I'd love to see the Muppets stay around. So.
Yeah, so it looks like that is indeed going to happen. So that's all good. And unless either you two gentlemen have another news item, that's it for the news on my end.
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, John was yelling at us that he had a story to tell us last week.
Well, oh,
what's
goodness.
Your story before we get you off the air, John? We'll put you on the spot.
All right. So it goes with my beer solo, you know. So I'm there in line getting a Sam Adams behind Mouse Gear. You know, the little beer stand there, pretzel stand. And,
absolutely.
I'm waiting in line, and the guy behind me is there with his two or three kids and his wife, and they're arguing back and forth about what number to call, how to get a hold of somebody to make a reservation for dinner that night. And they're kind of back and forth, and finally I say, I just turn around and mumble 407-WW9. 407-W, and he looks at me and he goes, "What's that?" And I go, "That's the telephone number to call." So he tells his wife, they call, and then they're talking about what restaurant to get, and he looks at me and I go, "Try Le Chef de France." And he, "Well, French food sounds good. Which one?" And I ask him, "Which one? Do you want to go upstairs or downstairs?" And he says, "Well, you got three kids. All right, you want to do Le Chef de France?" And ask him for, you know, she says that, and she says, "What time?" And I go, "Well, if you want to halfway," he said, "Well, can I see the fireworks from there?" And I said, "Well, you might be able to catch the top of them from the front window, so try to get about 8 o'clock. And he does that, and he gets off the phone, and he looks at my tattoos, and he goes, "Which one of those tattoos is a Disney one?" Yeah, well, actually, I don't have any of those yet, but we talked a little bit, and we got up to the front of the thing, and he bought my beer for me. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it was the first time I ever got a free beer at Disney, so...
There you go.
It's an awesome story, though.
Yeah, so a little bit of information goes a long way towards a free beer. So.
Now, did you have your flashing Main Street light on?
Yeah. Actually, we talked a little bit about podcasts. So.
Nice.
So, that's about it for us this week. Are you guys getting ready to go enjoy your Easter dinner?
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately not yet. We're eating later on this afternoon, but I'm starving, so I might have to go see what I can conjure up for breakfast.
Yeah, after seeing all these hamburgers and everything else, we got to go cook something, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a small breakfast. I think we're gonna be hitting it here soon. I'll put the ham in the oven in a little bit, so.
Yeah, I have to eat before that goes in the oven, because once that starts smelling up the house, man, you start eating everything. You start eating your fingernails down. You're so hungry.
That is true. Hey,
Dennis, I told Doug yesterday I wanted to mention to you that I traded it. You know the 7-month window for us for the for making a different reservation than Saratoga Springs.
Right.
And that came up over the weekend, so I called yesterday and traded in Saratoga Springs for. Actually, and it was only 3 more points. I got 2 nights at Bay Lake Tower.
Nice. Is that the first time you're staying there?
Yeah. Yeah. And my wife, for some bizarre reason, and she's not one to do this, but she wanted to put us on the waiting list for the the Grand Floridian.
Oh,
and
wait.
So, yeah, and it was the same amount of points actually too. So,
wow.
So we're at Bay Lake Tower, but we're on the white waiting list for Grand Floridian, which I would just feel totally out of place at. So.
Right. Well, I hope it doesn't come true.
I agree.
Our friend Judith's going to yell at you now.
I know. I hope you end up getting stuck at the Bay Lake Tower.
Yeah, miserable, right? So.
Well, either one's going to be fantastic. If you head over at the Grand Floridian, they're going to be yelling at you, that truck's double parked out there. Go move it, John.
Right.
You'll be like, no, I'm a guest here. They'll go, quit fooling around and go move that truck, would you, buddy?
John, have you guys gone up to the Top of the World Lounge at Bay Lake Tower yet?
No, I still haven't got around to that. But when we're staying at the Polynesian this summer, I'm gonna definitely give that a shot. So, but if not, then definitely if we're staying at Bay Lake Tower, there won't even be a choice at that time. But either way, I was able to get that because I moved it back to September, and I don't think that a lot of people making their reservations realize that Food and Wine Festival is starting the 14th of September this year.
Right.
And so
right.
The last 2 weeks of September are open game for getting those reservations at the place. Boardwalk was gone already. That's what, of course we wanted, but hey, I can take a monorail over to Epcot and take it back. No problem.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, Boardwalk and Beach Club, they get snapped up, as for Food and Wine. It's unless you're an owner, it's pretty difficult to get one of those to pop.
Yeah. And even as an owner, it isn't fun.
Exactly.
I mean, they end up getting you. I've heard of in times past that they've actually given them regular rooms.
Wow.
Being so packed at that time with the owners trying, wanting to stay there. You know what I'm saying? So they're just giving them regular rooms.
So convenient to just walk over that bridge to World Showcase. That is one of the big advantages to staying in the Boardwalk Beach Club area. I mean, you can't beat heading into that international gateway and boom, you're right in France or England, one of the two.
Yeah, the one time we were able to get Boardwalk, my wife was able to, this is how terrible it was. She was able to say, go really good, and off I'd go to France and bring something back to her. So.
Right.
Yeah, we did that. We've stayed at both of them, but the other one is the other option. Everybody forgets about the Swan and Dolphin, and you can get some really good rates, especially if you're a school teacher or work for the Army, anything. They have all different discounts over there, and everybody forgets too. They're off season. Like, that time of year is still, summertime is their off-season.
Right.
Because they're a convention hotel. So sometimes you can get some good deals during the summertime over there. And then early fall there. Like, with Food and Wine moving up a couple weeks, you still might hit their discount window.
Absolutely.
For their summer specials.
Yeah, and they're not that much further a walk. Just on the other side of the Yacht Club there, and boom, you're right there.
Oh, it's a beautiful walk from back there. We've done it many. We stayed there a few times. I love that hotel, and I can't wait to go over now and try that breakfast. Dinner, actually. I mean, not the breakfast. I keep saying the breakfast, but it's actually the $36 crab leg dinner. I know John's going to probably beat us both there.
Yeah, that seafood. That seafood spectacular sounded spectacular. So
keep it quiet, huh?
Yeah, keep it quiet till we go before they jack the price up or something.
Yeah, that's our luck. We'll be complaining about the Swan and Dolphin next. We're going to get Liam yelling at us. Well, that's going to be it. We want to wish all of our friends out there a very happy and healthy Easter. And have a very great week ahead of you. Enjoy all the food and your family today. We want to say head on over to our buddies over at the Mickey Dudes podcast. They're good friends of ours. And check out their show. I'm sure they'll be wishing you happy Easter over there. And all you guys have a great week. You got anything else, Danny?
No, I'm good. Enjoyed talking some Disney this morning. And we will talk again soon.
Talk to you later, Johnny. Don't forget to follow us, Johnny at Beer Solo on Twitter, Dennis at Oak Manor, and me at Good Old Grumpy 67. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, if you want to give us an Easter present, go over and leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Even if you want to yell at us on Easter, we'll take it. And everybody have a wonderful week. Later, Johnny.
All right. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, guys.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow is just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.